Support for Small Wonders on Siouxland Public Media comes from the Daniels Osborne Law Firm in the Ho-Chunk Center in downtown Sioux City, serving needs of clients in real estate transactions, business formation and guidance, and personal estate planning. More information is available on Facebook or at danielsosborne.com.
A century ago, the Spanish influenza has not struck Morris up to Thursday morning, but is headed this way. There are cases reported at the home of Mr. Vanderstow, Mr. Vector, P. Vanderstoop, and the Stubblefield family, who have all recovered from a siege of the same. Don't get excited over it. It is like being hanged. It's not so bad after you get used to it. But it is serious enough to be prepared to put up a good fight if it grips you. On Thursday, October 17, 1918, the editor of the Morris Times, Morris, Iowa, had no idea what was to come. In just a couple of days, he would have loved to edit that off-base lynching reference and burn the evidence. Thousands died in October of 1918, and no one pushed anyone to flatten the curve. The world was a different place 100 years ago. Morris had a daily newspaper. Today it barely has a downtown. More people lived on the land back then, on small family farms, the pride of America. In 1918, we had only a beginner's sense of science, and we were at war, the Great War. That war was greatly responsible for the Spanish flu. Although its origins are still debated, one of its early hotbeds was Fort Riley, Kansas, where 100 troops caught the new influenza in 1 week. A number that quadrupled the next. That was March of 1918. 32 army camps were wonderful breeding grounds for a contagion that no one saw coming and ended in an unimaginable death toll. 50 million died worldwide. In the U.S., 675,000 men, women, and children died out of a population of 100 million. It was as if all of Nebraska and South Dakota today were to be wiped out. Over 2 million gone, dead. And it came in waves. The first wave that spring was virulent and contagious like nothing anyone had seen, but it didn't kill. During the summer, it seemed to drift away until fall, when it returned with a vengeance, spread around by troop movements. Whatever mutation had occurred that summer made that new addition an unforgiving killer. In 3 months, September through November 1918, almost 200,000 Americans died, many here. In England, France, and America, wartime censorship barred any reports of sicknesses and death in the training camps and on the battlefield. The only journalists who did stories were from Spain. That's why it was called the Spanish flu. The war machine kept quarantines down because supplies and armaments were so needed, keeping that war's Rosie the Riveter from her job at the munitions factory meant our boys dying. You can't keep people from work if what they're making is keeping their husbands and brothers alive. In one 12-hour period at Camp Dodge in Des Moines, 1,000 new cases of the Spanish influenza occurred on October 8. And when finally the curve flattened at Camp Dodge, 10,000 soldiers were hospitalized, 700 died. We live in a different age. We know more than our ancestors did a century ago. We're staying away from each other now, and gatherings that draw more than a handful of close relatives are behind us. It's easy to despair when you make the comparison, but we're not the same a century later. Keep doing what you can.